Pray with me, please. Father, quiet my voice and speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to need your help right off the bat. And I'm doing this for anybody who's clipping out coupons, making a grocery list, checking their cell phone, maybe sending a text. Okay, I need your help. And this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to speak out right now and tell me, what does a human being need to thrive? And feel free, just yell it out. What do we need to thrive?
Oxygen.
Water. Sleep. Okay. Those were all good answers. I'm going to break it down now by generation. I'm going to first pick on the millennials. These are people born from 1981 to 2000. So what do you think millennials need, our young adults? What do they need? Cell phones, technology. You got it right off the bat. Yeah, these are people that were brought up with technology. As a matter of fact, I think at the hospital when they were born, or if they were born at home, rather than giving them a pacifier, their parents gave them a cell phone. Okay, the next group, we're going to talk about Generation X, and these are people born between 1965 and 1980. What do you think they need? Come on, I know there's some of you out there. Helping? Did somebody? Healthcare? Actually, they are the risk takers. These are the people that love to do things like bungee jump, you know, jump out of airplanes with parachutes. Okay, the next group I'm going to talk about is my group, the baby boomers. These are people born between 1945 and 1964. What do you think is really important to baby boomers? Service, you got it, yes. When you think about it, during the 50s, 60s, 70s, a lot of the different service organizations came about. So baby boomers have a need to serve. And then the last group I'm going to talk about is the traditionalist, born between 1900 and 1944. What do you think makes their hearts sing? Well, actually, and my father and mother belong to this group, and let me tell you a short story about my father. When my father was a junior in high school, and I don't share this with too many people, he manipulated his birth certificate just so he could join the Navy. Okay, he was only 16, actually, and he changed it to 18. So this whole group, they are loyal to their families, to their jobs, and to their country. Very loyal people. But there's something else, something that transcends all generations. And I'm proposing to you that we all need relationships or sensing the presence of others in order to thrive. Now, the disciples actually had an in-the-flesh relationship with Jesus. After a training period of 3 years, when they were disciples, and a disciple is a person who is schooled by somebody, okay? They are pupils, and they were schooled by Jesus. And after 3 years, they became apostles. That is, messengers or authorized representatives. Now, these 12 disciples and apostles were not chosen, first of all, for their faith, because as we know, that faltered. When you think about Peter, that faltered often. And they were not chosen for their talent or their ability. These are individuals, if you remember, and in our adult Sunday school class, we talked about the different levels that Jewish boys, and unfortunately it was just boys who went to school, what they went through. And these disciples not only did not make the fourth step, which is becoming a rabbi, but they barely even got out of the first step. So they weren't chosen for their ability or talents. They were chosen because they would obey Jesus. Obey Jesus. Now, in today's reading that David did, we experience these 12 ordinary men and what theologians have dubbed a theophany. Theophany, where's John Barr? Theophany, okay, that'll help you remember that. Theophany, okay. So theophany, that is where God is appearing in a way that a person can sense or feel his presence and have a relationship in which one really gets to know that person. Let me give you a few examples. In the Old Testament, there was Moses, and God appeared to Moses and the Israelites as a pillar of cloud and smoke, if you remember, as they were going towards the Holy Land, the Promised Land. And then in the New Testament, God appeared to John the Baptist and to Jesus and the gathered crowd as a dove came down as the Holy Spirit. Now, a current example, and this is one my son Jared gave me, when I asked him, have you ever experienced God? And he said, yeah, many times. And I said, well, give me an example. And the example he gave me was when we go to Peru each year, he says he really senses the presence of God by looking at the boys and the house parents and the staff and seeing how they've grown in their relationship with God and how they've become more and more like Jesus. Well, human beings, we all desire relationship. Not superficial, guarded, enamored ones, but ones that are natural, translucent, and genuine. Now, often we choose people to have a relationship, and this is what I'm going to call a natural relationship. And that is people of the same age group, educational level, similar values and morals, maybe the same socioeconomic level, the same caste, if you will, okay? And other times we choose people to have a relationship that is a little unnatural for us, that we have to step out of our comfort zone. So these are people who could be much older or much younger than us, people who are highly or not as well educated as we are, people of different values and morals, people who could be wealthier or less affluent than ourselves, people of different nationalities and different religions. But why is it that we have such a tough time having a supernatural relationship? And that is a close encounter, a theophany, as John mentioned, a personal, transparent, and genuine relationship with the King of the universe, Jesus Christ. Remember the story from the Old Testament, Moses and the burning bush? Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Or in the New Testament, remember when Jesus was told he was speaking to a group of people in a building and he was told that his mother and brothers were outside looking for him? And what did Jesus say? He looked at the people that he was teaching and he said, these are my mother and brothers. Okay, whoever does God's will is my mother, brother, and sister. Now, Jesus wasn't dissing his mom and his brothers, but he was showing the difference between respecting and worshiping. You respect your parents, but you worship God. A present-day example would be when a non-believer has a ground-moving, earth-shattering aha moment or a quiet, thin voice of God whispers to him or her, come, fall into my arms, let your father embrace you. Over and over in the Bible, God or one of his representatives have appeared to individuals and have spoken the words, "Do not be afraid." In other words, have faith. I'm going to act on your behalf. Now, I'm sure out there, there are some Debbie Downers or politically correct, Donald Downers saying, "What is Mike talking about? I've never had that type of experience." I have one word for you: numb. N-U-M-B, numb. Maybe an angel has never appeared to you, but you have experienced God's presence in more subtle ways. How about during an element of music? Maybe during that wonderful hymn that you did, that three-part thing. Maybe during praise music. Maybe a certain skit or a message or a video or a scripture reading. Maybe you felt God's presence. Or how about through another person? We've talked about this many times in Converge. Maybe something was said to you just when you needed to hear it. Somebody did something that just made your day, or somebody gave you a hug when you needed it most. How about through a prayer or a dream or a thought? Maybe as you were journaling about a situation, a resolution came to you out of the blue, so seemingly, and you had a thought about a situation that made you decide for it or against it. Maybe a friend prayed for you and your heavy burden seemed lifted from your shoulders. Now, you may not have had that radiant face that Moses had when he came down from the mountain after receiving the Ten Commandments. The time you spend in prayer, reading the Bible, doing ministry that uses your talents to meet a need in the world should have such an effect on your life that people will know you have had a close encounter, a theophany, a face-to-face experience with God. We know that God has the power over chaos, whether in a burning bush that does not get consumed, the Red Sea parting to allow the Israelites to walk across on dry land, Jesus walking, as we heard today, on the Sea of Galilee. But it can also be in difficult family situations, through storms that churn up our spiritual, psychological, or physical lives, maybe in roofs that need replacing, or deciding whether or not we are going to be an attractional or a missional church or both. We must not become numb or retire to a safe place to avoid God. We must instead be aware of the Lord's presence to be felt in a bold or a gentle way. We must join up with God in the work that he's already doing in our community. And we have to look out for how God takes chaos, overpowers it, and makes it tame. So, the question we must ask ourselves is, individually and as a family of faith, how will we react to God's presence on a daily basis? Will we listen to God in whatever form of burning bush that he sets before us? Or will we play it safe and simply grab a fire extinguisher and put out the fire? Will we walk on the dry land expecting God to keep the waters parted? Or will we stay on the comfortable shores of the Red Seas in our life? Will we identify with our spiritual brothers and sisters, even if they are different from us? Or will we only identify with our birth family, excluding all those who are different? Will we take Jesus into our boats, even if it's a bit frightening to do so? Or will we row furiously without him to the shoreline that we know so well? Will we combine our gifts and talents to usher in God's kingdom? Or will we squabble over musical styles, fight about what is and what is not politically correct, or disagree over liturgical style? Will we leave our safe spaces, join up with what God is already doing, listening to those who live on the fringe of society as we share what God has done in our lives? And going along with that, will we also take time to listen to our neighbor's story? Or will we play it safe, allowing our time, talents, and treasures to keep us numb in a state of satisfaction that eliminates feeling the presence of God? Radiance or retirement? We have a choice. It's time to choose. Amen.